Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, November 20th. Coming up, we'll learn about the long-term impacts of droughts on animals. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. We may see our first snow of the fall season tonight. Forecasters say the Champaign-Urbana areas has a slight chance of snow after 7 tonight. Daryl Anton is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service. He says the roads will be fine in east central Illinois.
The temperatures have been warm enough lately that if we do see anything sticking on the ground, it'll probably be on surfaces like grass, maybe some roofs.
Overnight tonight, the forecast calls for blustery conditions with wind gusts as high as 31 miles per hour and temperatures just below freezing. Temperatures tomorrow morning on Thursday will be between 15 and 25 degrees, so you'll need to make sure your children are bundled up at the bus stop. You can check out the entire forecast and current conditions 24/7 at ipmnewsroom.org. Senate Republicans are balking at plans by the Democratic majority to confirm judges before the Senate and the White House change hands. IPM Capitol Hill correspondent Linda Kenyon has the story.
Illinois Democrat Dick Durbin is going to be very busy. As the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, it's his job to guide the confirmation process for judicial nominees. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer told colleagues this week they should confirm as many judges as possible before the new year. President-elect Donald Trump is not happy. In a post on Truth Social, he wrote, "The Democrats are trying to stack the courts with radical left judges on their way out the door." He also urged Republicans not to confirm any judges before Inauguration Day. Republicans, who are the minority until January, can still follow Trump's wishes by using procedural maneuvers to slow down the confirmation process. The incoming Senate Majority Leader, Republican John Thune, argued at the end of Donald Trump's first term that the Senate should confirm as many Trump nominees as possible. The White House released a statement this week saying, essentially, Thune was right then, and he's right now. Linda Kenyon, IPM News.
Physics and art may seem unlikely to mesh together, but an exhibition at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign says otherwise. IPM student reporter Adeline Moy has more.
The Resident Artist in Physics exhibition opened earlier this month. It features the creative works of 11 students who explored an aspect of physics through an artistic medium. The students' exhibits serve as their applications for the Spring 2025 Resident Artist, which comes with monetary support and a workspace to explore physics through art. Jessica Raley, one of the program organizers, says they're trying to strengthen the connections between art and physics at the U of I.
So we're really hoping that through this student artist, the other students as well as faculty and staff can start to see other ways of seeing the world. There's a real potential here for all of us to learn from each other.
The exhibition is open through November 29th at the Craner Art Museum's Link Gallery. I'm Adeline Moy, IPM News.
The U.S. Department of Justice is investigating Sangamon County after the July killing of Springfield resident Sonia Massey. Mawa Iqbal reports.
Massey was a 36-year-old unarmed black woman who was shot by former sheriff's deputy Sean Grayson in her home. The DOJ is looking into the sheriff's department and county for possible civil and disability rights violations. The agency says Massey's death, quote, raises serious concerns about the sheriff's office's, quote, interactions with black people and people with behavioral health disabilities. The DOJ is requesting a list of records from the county, like officer use of force data by race and the number of 911 calls from people experiencing mental health crises. In a statement, Sheriff Paula Crouch says her department is pledging full cooperation. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Illinois nursing homes that aren't meeting the state's minimum staffing levels will have to pay fines starting next year. The fine amount will depend on the daily cost of wages and benefits for missing staff hours. Donna Kruder is a nurse on the dementia floor at Pavilion of South Shore in Chicago. She says understaffing has been and continues to be a major problem.
I work with 38 patients and I'm the only nurse on the floor.
That's not right.
7-3 shift, 3-11 shift, and 11-7 only have one nurse.
Whoa. State law requires a minimum staffing ratio of around 4 hours per resident per day. In 2022, Governor J.B. Pritzker signed into law a $700 million boost for nursing homes that increase their staffing levels. Still to come, we'll learn about the long-term impacts of droughts on animals. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, your forecast. For today, cloudy throughout the day, then gradually clearing with a high near 51 degrees and breezy with wind gusting up to 36 miles per hour. Tonight, a chance of snow after 7 p.m. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a low around 30 degrees. Overnight tonight, the forecast calls for blustery conditions, wind gusting up to 31 miles per hour. Temperatures tomorrow morning on Thursday will be between 15 and 25 degrees.
Next time on The 21st Show, Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski was just reelected to the 13th District in Central Illinois. We'll talk with her about why so many Democrats lost the election, her plans for the next session of Congress, and her concerns about the incoming Trump administration. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You are listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Much of the Midwest and Great Plains has been dealing with extremely dry conditions for the past 4 years. It's killed crops, lowered river levels, and fueled wildfires. But the extreme weather also affects wildlife. Harvest Public Media's Elizabeth Rembert reports drought conditions can change animal behavior and even push species out of some regions.
A small pond sits near the end of County Road F in western Nebraska. At first, it looks like a typical pond off a quiet, dead-end gravel road. But after nearly 20 years of visiting this pond every summer, Larkin Powell is pretty good at spotting its residents.
Look at, like, all the heads. There's the little bumps sticking up in the water.
Oh, that's
like,
them.
All the way back, those are the turtles.
Those are the turtles, yeah.
This pond is a painted turtle hotspot. Powell teaches conservation biology and animal ecology at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. Every summer, he brings students out to this pond to catch and measure the turtles. A handful have fallen into the traps floating in the pond. Now, the irritated turtles are scratching around in buckets, waiting their turn to be measured by the crew of students, who are ready with thick gloves, calipers, and scales.
59, armpit to armpit.
He's kicking me. He's kicking me good. He's going back in his bucket.
Powell and his students used 11 years of these measurements to study how drought impacted the turtles. They found that during dry years, the turtles grew more slowly. The conditions also seem to lower survival and throw off the female-to-male ratio. The papers have been Powell's most requested research studies. He says scientists are starting to realize that climate change means animals are reckoning with new conditions.
Now that those droughts are becoming more frequent and more intense, there's going to be some changes, and we have to account for that as we think about the future for species of conservation concern.
The last few years of drought have been a doozy. In early November, more than 79% of the country's population was living with abnormal dryness and drought, a record in the U.S. Drought Monitor's 25-year history. Persistently high temperatures and low precipitation has transformed creeks and ponds into puddles in Kansas and Missouri. It's killed off fish and ruined habitats for migrating birds. In Indiana, the extreme heat and dryness of the 2012 drought wiped out the Karner butterfly. The small powder blue butterfly hasn't been seen there since 2014. And other animals are being seen where they shouldn't be.
Right now, a bear cub is making headlines in West St. Louis County.
Never thought I would see a wild bear in front of my house.
Black bears usually prefer to stay away from people. But Missouri Department of Conservation biologist Nate Bowersock says they're more willing to risk human contact when dry conditions kill the acorns and berries they rely on. That may mean they wander into the burbs or onto farms.
They might start trying to flip over a chicken coop to get at the chickens or decimate a beehive. Bird feeders, too. They love to go after people's bird feeders.
While droughts are a part of the natural weather cycle, scientists have found that human-caused climate change is making them more frequent and more intense. Wynn Moss, a biologist with the U.S. Geological Survey, says it's getting harder for wildlife to survive drought, as they also fight off disease, invasive species, and habitat loss.
So drought just adds another threat to that list, and it can be kind of the death blow for some of these species.
That threat is getting more persistent, according to Moss. Even when drought conditions ease, the effects can stick around. And wildlife is often hit by another drought before they're back to normal.
They're happening so fast that ecosystems are finding it challenging to fully recover before the next drought happens.
Back at the pond in western Nebraska, the turtles have done their scientific duty. It's time for them to go back home. The students walk down to the pond, set the buckets on their sides, and watch as the turtles slowly make their way to the water. They float on the surface before swimming out, only their little heads visible above the water.
Hi, friends.
Painted turtles are a stable population that aren't existentially threatened by drought. But Powell hopes the findings can be applied to other endangered turtle species that might need help surviving the new normal of extreme heat and dryness. I'm Elizabeth Rembert, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Linda Kenyon, Adeline Moy, Mawa Iqbal, and Elizabeth Rembert. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.